If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. Sorry, Rebecca. Turn to John chapter 15. That's where we're going to be this morning. How's everybody? Wide awake? Just excited to be here. Proud of you guys. Either your clocks are broken or you're dedicated. So I'm proud of you. Glad that you're here and excited to share this message with you today. If you're new or recent with us, my name's Travis. I get to be the lead pastor here, and we've been walking through the book of John for quite some time now, and we are in John 15, where Jesus is talking about abiding, and he talks about how there's some fruit, there's some evidence of abiding in Jesus. And abiding in Jesus simply means, and we're going to be talking about this a little bit more this morning, staying connected to Jesus. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about what that means and what that looks like today. But he's talking about that, and he talks about how there's some fruit from abiding in Jesus, right? And last week, we talked about the first fruit of abiding being answered prayer, that if you abide in Christ, if you abide in the vine, if you stay connected to Jesus, then you will see answered prayer in your life. You will see answered prayer in your life. And so we're talking today about one of the fruits of abiding in Jesus is loving, everybody say loving, obedience. Well, you didn't have to say that. You just said say loving. But that's okay. I appreciate your enthusiasm at the 8:30 service. I love it. Okay, so if you're taking notes, you can write that down as the heading, okay, the title of the message today, the fruit of loving obedience. Okay, the fruit of loving obedience. Now, this isn't necessarily, and I don't believe Jesus is saying here, that if you love me, you'll do exactly what I say. Right? I think that's the fruit. I think that's what ends up happening. But it's not necessarily a demand, a command here, but let's look at it. Okay, John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, we're going to talk about joy next week, and we're going to talk about sacrificial love in 2 weeks, but I did want you to catch verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Have you ever done this? There's a slippery slope here when it comes to this, because it can seem transactional, right? Have you ever looked at, if you're a parent, have you ever looked at one of your kids, or have you ever looked at somebody and said, hey, if you will go get this for me, I'll be your best friend. You ever done that? Right? You ever done something like, I do that to my kids all the time. Like, hey, I will love you forever if, right? I will love you forever. You will be the favorite. All four of my kids are always striving to be the favorite, or at least they used to. And the older ones are kind of given up on that now. But you know, I will love you forever. You'll be the favorite for the next 5 minutes if you do so and so, right? And what we're doing there, right, is we're turning love into transactional, right? We're turning relationship into transactional. And that's not what Jesus is doing here, but he's saying that obedience is a natural outpouring of being with him. That it's just natural. That if you're connected to Jesus, if you're with him, the fruit of that, the natural fruit is going to be that you do what he says. The natural fruit is going to be that you do what he says. And so let's back up for just a moment. In John 15, just to set us up for today, and I've got 4 points from the text and 5 takeaways, but just to set us up for the day, in John 15, Jesus is hours away from the cross. And these are among the final words that he gives his disciples before he's arrested. And when a person knows When a person knows that the end is near, words aren't wasted. Right? And so the words that we see Jesus bringing here in John chapter 15 are very important. Not wasted words. He's speaking what matters most. And what Jesus presses into the hearts of his followers is this simple but profound truth: abide in me. And what he's saying is, stay connected to me. And here at Summit, our vision for you is that we would know, love, follow Jesus, and help others do the same, right? And that know, love, follow Jesus is connected, it's staying connected, it's abiding in the vine. And that's why we're pausing and we're stopping and we're really looking at what it looks like to stay connected to Jesus. Because everything in the Christian life, everything when it comes to following Jesus, flows from our connection with him. It flows from our connection with him. Jesus begins the chapter by saying, we talked about this 2 weeks ago in verse 5, I am the vine. We talked about how that was his last I am statement in the book of John. I am the vine. You are the branches. A branch, get this, has no, everybody say no, independent life. A branch has no independent life. It cannot produce fruit by trying harder. If it is not connected in the vine, it cannot produce fruit by trying harder. Its only job is to remain connected to the vine. Life flows from the vine into the branch, and fruit naturally grows. And Jesus is saying the same is true for us. Now, can I give you the grace for a moment? Can I give you some grace and truth this morning? Is that okay? The grace is this, okay? The grace is this. As some of you might be sitting here and hear the theme and the subject of today's message being obedience and already feel like you're shamed out of the room, right? Shame is a powerful thing. The truth is, the grace here in this text is this, right? None of us, look around, none of us, not one of us can abide in perfect obedience this side of heaven. That's the grace of this text, right? That's the grace of this message today. None of us, not one of us can abide in perfect obedience this side of heaven. What do I mean by that? Not one of us is perfect. Not one of us responds perfectly in traffic. Not one of us handles every relationship, every relational connection perfectly. Not one of us is a perfect employee. Not one of us, and some of you are like, well, I'm close. But you're not. Right? You're not perfect. Not one of us can accomplish perfect abiding this side of heaven, therefore perfect obedience. Okay? But the truth of this is that we should not take that reality and that grace for granted and leverage it to be just whoever we want to be as followers of Jesus. And so therefore, the truth is, we should try. We should strive to abide in Christ, stay connected to the vine, be in a relationship with Jesus, and do what he says. We should try harder. And when we fail, not shame ourselves out of the room like I mentioned earlier, but say, hey, I'll do better next time. I'll do better next time. I had a little fun with my 8-year-old last night. She's in competition cheer. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I'm going to my first comp, because you don't say competition in competition cheer. There's a lingo that you've got to get into, right? So I'm going to my first comp this Saturday, stoked out of my mind, right? Just can't wait, right? And so my daughter came home yesterday, and she was in Oxford Hills. They placed second out of eight teams yesterday. Second out of eight teams, right? Pretty good. We got a couple other cheer families in here rocking it, right? Second out of eight teams. And so we're hanging out last night, and somebody asked Vera, my little eight-year-old, they said, "Did you do your very best?" Right? Did you do your very best? Did you cheer? Did you do your routine, your very, very best? And she was like, "Yeah, very confidently." And I thought in my mind, and I told her a little bit later, "Well, clearly you didn't, because you didn't get first." Right? I mean, let's be honest, right? I'm joking, okay? I'm joking. I'm not that kind of dad. Okay, I had a little bit of fun with this, right? But the truth of the matter is, it's kind of similar to when it comes to abiding and obedience, right? We can try as hard as we possibly can, and we'll never be perfect. But we should try. But we should try. We can try as hard as we possibly can to have perfect obedience in our life, but there is a sin nature that is stronger than you. But we should try. But we should try. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Remain connected to the vine. The Christian life, when it comes to us, a walk with Jesus is not about self-powered religion. It's about abiding in Jesus so that his life flows through us. And so we talked last week about the fruit of answered prayer, and today we're talking about the fruit of obedient love. A couple things I want to point out to you from the passage. Number one comes from verse 9, the source of love. Everybody say the source. The source of love. Let's look at verse 9. It says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. That's an easy verse to memorize. I recommend it. You should memorize that. Put that on your fridge this week. Put it on your mirror. Put it somewhere where you put it on your desk. Right? "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." The Father's love for the Son is the source of love. And so Jesus begins with a breathtaking statement. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." And I want you to think about what Jesus has just said. The love that exists between God the Father and God the Son, a love that has existed for all of eternity, is the same kind of love that Jesus has for those who follow him. The Father's love for the Son, a love that has existed for all of eternity, is the same kind of love that Jesus has for his followers. And so if you love Jesus this morning, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're doing your best to abide in the vine, that is the love that Jesus loves you with today. The same love that God the Father, the creator of the universe, loves his Son with is the love that Jesus loves the church with. Not a lesser love, not a diluted love, the same kind of love. Before the world was created, the Father delighted in the Son. Perfect attention, perfect unity, perfect joy. And Jesus says, "That's how I love you." And so hear me, church. If you belong to Christ, you are loved with a love that didn't begin when you were born, and it's not going to end when you die. But notice what he says at the end of verse 9. He says, "Abide in my love." He doesn't say earn it. He says, "Remain in it." And so the love of Jesus is not something we achieve. It's something that we live inside of, like a branch living in the vine. The love of Jesus is something that we sit in. It's just something that we soak in. It's something that it's beautiful. And then look at verse 10. He says, the evidence of love. He says, "If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The evidence of love here, the evidence of abiding, obedience. Jesus explains how abiding works. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Now again, I kind of set this up earlier, but we've got to be very careful here. Jesus is not saying, obey me so that I'll love you. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is not saying, obey me so that I will love you. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, never says obey to be loved. Instead, Jesus is saying, if you love me, obedience will prove it. If you love me, obedience will prove it. Obedience doesn't earn love. Obedience reveals love. And so we obey out of our love and passion for the Father, not out of our striving to earn anything. Or to say it another way, obedience is the evidence of love. And so when a person truly loves Jesus, they begin to treasure his words. They begin to submit to his authority. And yes, I said submit. People have an issue when I say submit because they have an issue with authority today. Oof, that was not in my notes. I did not mean to say that. But that probably means you needed to hear it. Let me back up. When a person truly loves Jesus, they begin to treasure his words, submit to his authority. I had somebody come to me one time because I preached on submission, and they left the church because I used the word submission. I was like, that's cute. You should probably submit. Bless their hearts. Where was I? Okay, when a person truly loves Jesus, they begin to treasure his word, submit to his authority, and shape their life around his commands. Shape their life around his commands. Let me ask you this. Just imagine for a second. I'm not asking you to live it yet, right? But just imagine for a second. How would my life be different if my life was shaped around the commands of Jesus? I was listening to a sermon this past week that was kind of similar. And the preacher was talking about how he's come across people and they say I don't want to be negative. But what we've got to come to grips with is that the Bible is full of negative. You look at the Ten Commandments, there's 8 quote unquote negatives there, and then 2, remember your father and mother, and remember the Sabbath. The other are don't. Do not murder. Do not take God's name in vain. Do not do this. Do not do that. Right? And so it's really interesting when it comes down to it because we've got to recognize that it's not our job to fit Jesus into our culture. It doesn't fit. It's not our job to fit obedience to Christ into acceptance in the world. It won't fit. It won't fit. And so again, my question lies. What would look differently in my life? What would look differently in your life? How would your marriage change? How would your relationship with your kids change? How would your work and job change if your whole life, everybody say whole, I just wanted you to make sure, I want to make sure we're on the same page here. Our whole life, not just part, not just our Sunday morning life, but our whole life was shaped around the commands of Christ. Not the suggestions of Christ, but the commands of Christ. How would my life change? How would my interactions change? How would my driving in Massachusetts be different? And those are the things, hear me, that we must consider for our lives. That's how we must live our lives, that if we're pursuing Jesus, knowing, loving, following Jesus, helping others do the same, if our pursuit is Christ, these are things that we have to evaluate. How does my life change
if everything is shaped around obedience to Christ, his commands. Not perfectly, again, not perfectly. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't perfect. How many of you struggled saying the word ain't? Is there an English teacher in here that's like, well, it's not even a word, so you can't even say that? Okay? Right? Not perfectly, but genuinely. And you know the difference. We know the difference. Right? You know the difference. We're not longing for perfect friendship. Right? But we are longing for genuine. Right? We know if you have any ounce of maturity in you, you know perfection isn't attainable. You know perfection isn't attainable. But we long for genuine. And the same is true with Christ. Because the life of Jesus inside of us changes our desires. Look at number three, the pattern of love. Jesus' obedience to the Father. Okay, so he gives a pattern here, right? He doesn't just leave us with the command. There's a pattern. You abide in my love, just as I, here's the pattern, the Son's obedience to the Father, have kept my Father's commandments and am abiding in his love. Jesus' obedience to the Father is the pattern of love. Lay down my life. Lay down my cross. Take up my cross daily. Follow Jesus. We see this repeated over and over and over again in the life of Jesus, that Jesus gives himself as the example. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Son obeys the Father perfectly. He is the perfect example. We can't be that. Jesus is. Not because he's forced, but why? Because he delights in the Father. He delights it. He delights in it. Jesus delights in sitting in the presence of his Father and doing what he says. Jesus' obedience is not cold duty. It's joyful devotion. And that's the same kind of relationship he calls us into. Now, we got to pause for just a moment. Can we pause for just a moment? Because I want to give you a special point that's not tied to a verse, but there's a warning in here to false disciples. Earlier in the passage, and I just want to remind us of this, Jesus gives a sober warning in verse 6. He said, if anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and burned. This speaks directly to a massive spiritual problem in our world, that there are countless people who claim to follow Jesus, but do not do what Jesus says. And they blame it on a lot of different things, right? They blame it on upbringing. They blame it on politics. They blame it on all these different things, right? And the reality is, they say, I don't know if I can sugarcoat this anymore, right? I don't know if I can sugarcoat this anymore because my goal is to not make anyone in here doubt, but my goal is to have you evaluate, am I surrendered to Jesus like I say? Am I a surrendered to Jesus like I say? Not with my words, but with my life. Because again, there's countless people who claim to follow Jesus, but just do not follow what Jesus says. They say, I love Jesus, but they ignore his scripture. They ignore his commands. They say, I'm a Christian, but their lives show absolutely no desire to obey him. Now, I'm not talking about a dry period, because I talked last Sunday about dry periods, right? I'm not talking about a dry period. We have dry periods, right? I feel like that's a real thing, right? I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about the person, right, that shows absolutely at no point desire to obey Christ. Jesus says a branch like that is not alive. And this is what we would call, and what one scholar calls, spiritual insanity. Saying, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't follow Jesus. Huh? I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't follow Jesus. I mean, that's confusing, right? Sounds like a Yankees fan. Right? Oh, sorry. That struck a nerve. My bad. Okay. Some other fan. I love Jesus, but I don't listen to him. right? That's confusing. No, you don't. Scripture says plainly in James, the half-brother of Jesus, James chapter 2, verse 17, he says, faith without works is dead. I love the way Rich Mullins put it. Faith without works is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. And a song. Right? Faith without works is dead. Here's where I'm going with this. Obedience, a disciple in obedience who refuses to obey Jesus is not a struggling disciple. They're a false disciple. Because when the life of Christ is in you, fruit of some sort must grow. And that's why it's so important for us. It's so important for us. It's so important for us. This is one of the biggest tensions in what I do every single day is inspect the fruit of the people around me. Inspect the fruit of the people around me, right? Because here's the reality, right? We need kids teachers, right? We need kids teachers to invest in the life of our children during this time, right? We need kids teachers. But when someone comes and says, "Hey, I want to teach the kids," I got to inspect that fruit, because we don't want just anyone going in and teaching the kids. Who knows what, right? We can't have Seth going in there and teaching them about the Yankees. It's false gospel. Right? I mean, we can't do that. I'm just kidding. Right? But so it's natural, and it's something we have to do. Right? Where we look and say, "Okay, you're claiming this. You say you're striving for this." And it's much better done in questioning as opposed to accusation. Right? Because here's the reality. How many of you know you can't judge a book by its cover? Right? You can't judge a book by its cover. Right? There can be someone that seems so distant from Christ, but just because of their personality, because they're not gonna come out and tell you, they're not gonna come out and show you, but man, they are abiding, they are connected, they are resting in the vine. And so, someone who says, "I'm striving to be like Jesus," well, tell me what that looks like for you. How are you pressing into Jesus? Where's the fruit of abiding in your life? And that's inspection. That's inspection, and it's so important that we do it. Because when the life of Christ is in you, fruit must grow. We will begin to love what he loves. We'll begin to treasure his words in scripture. We'll begin to desire to obey him. And again, not out of duty, but like we're going to talk about more next week, out of joy. Out of celebration. I get to live differently because I'm living for Christ. And then lastly, got to hit verse 14. He says in verse 14, "You are my friends." Think about that for just a moment. This is Jesus talking to his disciples in an upper room, hours away from the cross. And he's saying it for us today in 2026 in Gorham, Maine. "You are my friends." This is Jesus saying, "You are my friends." Listen to me. When it feels like no one is with you, there is one who abides. I'm claiming that. You should claim it too. And the loneliness epidemic that we have in our country, in our world right now, when it feels like there is no one else, Jesus abides. There's one who abides, and his name is Jesus. And he says here, "You," put your name there. Put your name there. Brian, Christy, Rob, Seth the Yankees fan, "You are my friend." If you do what I command. If you do what I command you. Obedience, get this, is the delight of friendship. Later in this passage, Jesus says something remarkable, right? You are my friends, right here in this text. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, again, Jesus is the King of the universe. He has every right to command obedience. But he doesn't treat his followers like slaves. He treats them like friends. I have called you friends. A slave receives commands without explanation, right? Do what I say or else, right? But Jesus shares his heart with his people. He brings us into his inner circle. He reveals his purpose. He lets us know his will. And when you recognize, when you realize that the King of heaven calls you his friend, obedience stops feeling like a burden and it's a delight. It's a delight. That's why I say often that I get to be the pastor of Summit Church. I get to come here after staying up way too late and losing an hour of sleep early on a Sunday morning with a little bit extra in my coffee to do this with you. With you. We get to do this together. And it becomes not something that we, not a box that we check, but it becomes a delight. That it becomes a delight. That there is absolutely, I was talking about this in membership class the other night. We had 14 or 15 people in membership class the other night. Unbelievable, right? And I was just talking about how I believe, and this is the type of church you want to pastor. This is the type of church you want to be a part of. I got two kids sitting over here right now. They would come to Summit Church even if Daddy wasn't the pastor here. Because they love it, right? They delight in gathering here. Isn't that awesome, right? We get to delight in gathering together. And the same is true that when we're abiding in the vine, obedience becomes a delight. So let's bring this to real life. I got some takeaways for you. Good? All right, good. Number one, stop trying harder and start abiding. Stop trying harder. Start abiding. Fruit, get this, fruit does not grow through effort. Fruit does not grow through effort. I told you a couple weeks ago about the one salad that we had from our garden, right? That's why I'm a bad gardener, right? I was just trying to figure out. I was Googling. I'm trying to figure out what do I need to do to make this stuff grow faster so that it can go from there through here and into here and satisfy, right? What do I need to do? And you know what I needed to do? Wait. You know what I'm really bad at? Waiting. So I was bad at this, right? And so it's not an issue of trying harder. It's an issue of connecting deeper. See, your greatest need is not more discipline, it's deeper intimacy. It's not more discipline, it's deeper intimacy with Jesus. When the discipline happens, when the intimacy happens, the discipline comes. Right? Spend time in His Word. That's what it looks like to abide. Spend time in His Word. Sit with Him. Sit with Him. Talk with Him in prayer. Walk with Him daily. Engage with Him in the everyday conversations, in the everyday relationships. Abide. When you come at a crossroads this week, and chances are you will. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I say this? Should I keep my mouth shut? Should I, you know, when you come to a cross, think about, okay, what does this look like if my life is fully surrendered and wrapped around Jesus? What does this look like? And see what happens. That's abiding. The closer you live to Jesus, the more His life will flow through you. Stop trying harder and start abiding. Number two, this kind of goes along with that. We've talked a lot about this morning. Number two, examine your life honestly. Examine your life honestly. Ask yourself a hard question. Do I actually obey Jesus? Not perfectly, but sincerely. If someone claims to follow Jesus yet lives in ongoing willful disobedience with no conviction, no repentance, no desire to change, Jesus is saying, I'm not saying, Jesus is saying that person is not abiding. Because true faith produces fruit. Examine your life honestly. Examine your life honestly. Number three, and again, we get to talk about this all week next Sunday, all day next Sunday, and I can't wait. Rediscover the joy of obedience. Rediscover the joy of obedience. Obedience is not slavery. Bless you. You're welcome. Obedience is not slavery. It's friendship with the King. It's friendship with Jesus. And when Jesus shapes your heart, his commands stop feeling restrictive and they become life-giving. And you begin to delight in doing what pleases him. And so rediscover the joy of obedience. I get to every morning open this word freely. There's no threat. Freely. And I get to sit in it as long as I commit to it, as long as I carve out of it, as long as I want to. I get to sit in it. I get to engage in community with you. I get to come to Jesus on my knees, sitting, whatever posture, while I'm in the car, driving, and I get to have an open communion conversation with the King of the universe. I get to do that. As a child of God, I get to do that. I get to rediscover the joy of obedience. I get to. I have a friend who's a pastor, and a couple years ago, I'm trying to inspect the fruit, examine the fruit of this, but a couple years ago, he said, you know what, I want to bring back suits on Sunday morning. And I was like, are you sick? He's like, no, he's like, man, I just feel like there's something to this. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I get to give God my best on Sunday morning by dressing up. So my man like wears vests and bow ties. And I'm not convicted under the same conviction that he is. Okay? His church is like 17 hours away. If you want to go to it, okay, that's great. All right? His conviction is that I get to wake up on a Sunday morning and put on my best. Put on my best. And here's the difference between him and me. This is my best. Okay? This is all I got. This is my best. Right? But I get to. And for him, and that's a beautiful point, right? Because everybody's going to be different in that. But what is your joy of obedience? And then lastly, let love be your motivation. Let love be your motivation. Because we're talking about obedient love here. Let love be your motivation. Christian obedience is not driven by fear. It's driven by love. Right out of the mouth of Jesus. You obey because the one who commands you loves you infinitely. And the more you understand his love, the more your heart will leap and say, Jesus, whatever you ask of me, whatever you want of me, the answer is yes. Whatever you ask, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, Even as uncomfortable as it might be, and as displaced as I might feel, as out of strength and out of character as this might be, whatever you ask me to do, Jesus, I'm in. I'm in. I'll stay if you want me to stay. I'll go if you want me to go. I'll talk if you want me to talk. I'll share if you want me to. I'll do whatever you want me to do, because love is the motivation. Whatever you ask of me, the answer is yes. Whatever you ask of me, the answer is yes. I hurt myself this morning because I was standing in the coffee line, and Rhonder, who oversees the kitchen, she looked at me and she said, "Travis, can you do something for me?" And before I even knew what Rhonda needed, I was like, "Absolutely, whatever you need." So I walked in. I thought she just needed something off the top shelf, because that's easy. I'm helpful in that. No. I don't know why we put this there. I don't know who put this there. It must have been me, but I don't remember it. It was not my smartest, finest hour. We have a clock above the cabinets in the kitchen, super high up, all the way near the top. It's not centered on the wall. It looks out of place as all get out, right? But she's like, "I need that changed." I was like, "Oh boy." But out of my love for Rhonda, right? I'm in this. I'm committed to this. So I leap up on the counter. I reach up over the cabinet. I pull a muscle right here. Rhonda. But I get the clock down, right? My yes was yes before I even knew what she needed. Why? Because I love Rhonda. Man, she's awesome. She's awesome. What would it have looked like if I'd have said, "Yeah, Rhonda, whatever you need"? And she'd have looked up, pointed at the clock, and I'd be like, "Nah, I'm not doing that." Right? "No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that. Let JoJo scale the cabinets." Okay? He's younger, more energetic. Right? He can stand on that cabinet fully and not even hit his head on the ceiling. Right? Let somebody else do that, right? That's below me, right? Or that's, you know, whatever, right? No. It's out of love that we obey. It's out of love that we strive to obey. The worship team's going to come. And so imagine a branch as we close, as we shut this down. Imagine a branch clinging to a vine. Life flows from the vine into the branch. Leaves grow, fruit appears, not because the branch is trying harder, but because life is flowing through it. And that is our lives with Jesus. Abide in Christ. Remain in His love, and the inevitable fruit will grow. Because when Jesus truly lives in you, you can't help but love what He loves and obey what He says. And so what does it look like for you this week? What does it look like for you this week to abide in the vine? What is Jesus asking you to do right now that you just need to do? What is He calling you to right now? What is He calling you to right now? And you're just like, I don't know, because things would change. This would be different. I don't know. How would your life look differently if it was completely shaped around the things of Jesus and what He asked you to do? Write it down. Tell somebody. Go to somebody and say, "Hey, I need your help. I need your help because I'm feeling this pull. I'm feeling this tug to do this thing, but it's super uncomfortable and I don't know if I can do it in my own strength." Guess what? That's a good place to start, because you can't. But allow that person to pray with you. Allow that person to hold you accountable. Allow that person to walk with you, to show up next Sunday and say, "Hey, how's that going? How's that thing going? How is abiding in the vine?" And allow the fruit of obedience and joy to flow. Will you pray with me? God, today I thank You for Your word. I thank You that it's applicable and it's right on time. God, we needed this word today. And so, God, I pray for a greater obedience, not out of duty from this room, but out of love for you. And God, I thank you that you model this for us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I call you friends. God, I thank you that your Son, whom you loved, whom you sent to be the sacrifice for us, would call us friends. God, what grace, what mercy. And so I pray that we would walk in that love this week. That we'd walk in that love this week. God, call us to deeper. Call us to more that reflects your heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Love you guys. Let's stand and sing together.